Gentlemen, it is time for the crime report with our very own Sarge, Joe Jacklone, of course, a retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor at John Jay College, author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, Edition 3, brought to you by 1-800-CRIME-STOPPERS, Suffolk Crime Stoppers. It's 1-800-220-TIPS right in Suffolk County, 220-8477. All calls kept confidential. Monetary reward of up to $5,000. Given for information that will lead to an arrest. Joe, of course, a highly decorated member of the NYPD in his day and the most notable. That would include the Department Medal of Valor. We say a very good morning to the sergeant. Sir, how are you? Joseph, how you feeling?
Good, Jay. How are you?
Hanging in there, my friend. Hanging in there. Just loaded here with stuff. And we've got a couple of, you know, when you hear about these things now, Joe, it's unfortunately, you know, it's water off a duck's back. I mean, I don't even know what else to say. Where you have two mass shootings within 24 hours, one in South Carolina, one in Texas. Then you hear the president come on regarding some gun regulation stuff. Then you have the governor of Texas come out saying, hey, you know what? Come to our state, sanctuary state, regarding this stuff. Then you have the shooting that took place late yesterday in Bryant, Texas. I mean, this we are so screwed up as a nation. It's not even funny anymore. You know, all we want to know when we hear this stuff, at least when I do, okay, where would it take place? And then we move on. And it's unbelievable. It just seems like it's an every week occurrence with this stuff. And the beat goes on. Joe, I tell you, it's getting crazier.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially the case in South Carolina. I'm surprised it didn't get the media attention that that it deserves. I mean, this guy, the ex-NFL player there, killed, you know, two innocent children, too. I mean, it was a 9-year-old, I think, and a 7-year-old. I mean, that's a, talk about a heinous crime that happened down there. My God, I mean, it's just, like I said, and then you had the Texas one that they're saying at the cabinet company. Looks like it's a workplace violence. The police have said... So the guy went in there and he shot five people. Fortunately, only one person has died so far. So the other four, they said, are in critical condition, but stable. So let's hope that they survive. But I mean, yeah, Jay, it seems they come in bunches, right? We hadn't really talked about this in a while, and then all of a sudden, in the last couple of weeks, we've had one. Seems to be one again every day.
I remember the guy too, the football player Philip Adams, played for the Jets. He took his own life. The father was asked about him, pretty much saying, listen, football kind of messed him up somewhat. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. But a very prominent doctor killed, might have treated one of the family members, if not him, I'm not sure. There's a report now that he was on medication. Adams didn't take his medication. Could have had some situations regarding concussions. We all know CT and everything else that have taken place with NFL players of the past. 70-year-old physician, his wife, I mean, the two children, my goodness. I think a 5 and a 9-year-old, Joe. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
38-year-old,
yeah,
who was working at the home. Sixth person is hospitalized. You know, and he killed himself, Adam said. So, you know, just a dreadful story. You know, it's just one of these deals. And you don't even know how to react anymore. That's how bad it's getting. But just a horrific story. He played 6 seasons in the NFL. Had some issues. He retired from the league. It was about 5 or 6 years ago. So just another tough one, Joe. Really was. And then, of course, you know, yeah, the president with his executive actions. We'll get into that. But it's a tough story. And he took his own life. You know, a lot of times these guys will do that, right?
Yeah, no, unfortunately, it generally ends that way, and then, you know, they take everybody else's life first, but it's just, you know, you just can't understand what exactly is transpiring. I mean, listen, we've had mass shootings all along where, you know, and really didn't make the media radar, but then all of a sudden, it just seems like the last month or two, it's just been like nonstop. You had the shooting in the Navy Yard the other day. You had and it just seems like these things, like you said, they're just getting glossed over now because we become immune to it. It's just part of the news cycle. And then we move on to something else. It's just, I don't know exactly what exactly is transpiring in society today anymore, Jake.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's, you know, we go to the next, then we go to the next, and we talk about it. We talk about it on shows like this. We have experts on both sides. We have talking on Capitol Hill that we need to do more. Is it a mental issue? If it's a mental issue, it's not an issue, you know, for the ones who abide by the laws who carry the weaponry. You know, it's the back and forth. You know, I don't even know. I don't even know. And then the one in Texas where you had this guy, he's accused of killing one, wounding five others, two of them critically. Opened fire yesterday, Bryan, Texas. Cabinet-making company, that's where he worked. I guess where he was currently. Obviously, there were a lot of questions. Was he terminated? Was he currently employed? State trooper also shot, wounded, and they got the guy arrested a couple hours after the shooting, about 25 miles away he was, Larry Winston Boland, his name was. I guess many believe Boland was an employee over this Kentmore Cabinets location. So they're trying to determine right now the motive, but it was a time, Joe, where they were looking for this guy, but they caught him about 25 miles away, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is, and that's generally the new thing that we've seen, too, because we've seen a number of these incidents where the person ends up shooting himself, too, at these locations. And then the last couple now have been, you know, car chases and the like. So, I mean, we are in a dangerous crossroads all of a sudden where we seem to be digesting these incidents way too often again. It just seems that they inspire maybe, dare I say, like copycats where people see it on TV who have mental issues, and the next thing you know, they're going out and doing it too. I don't know if that's the case, but I mean, it's just something that really needs to be looked at.
We just got word, Prince Philip passing away, age 99. He's been very sick over there in the UK, and he has bounced back, but the word just came through. He passed away at age 99. Joe Jacklone, the crime report. We mentioned all this going on yesterday. And Joe Biden announced several executive actions on guns, did at the White House yesterday. You know, the new actions include, Joe, a move to crack down on so-called ghost guns. Maybe you could talk about that. That's where these weapons, they don't have serial numbers, right, Joe? Often, bought without a background check. And also tightening the regulations on the pistol stabilizing braces. Like the one used in last month's mass shooting, which took place in Boulder. Remember the supermarket, 10 people dead there. So talk about those two for a second, the braces, the ghost guns. You can actually do it from a computer, right, online and everything else. Build them. They have the instructions and everything else. That's what the ghost guns are all about as well, right?
Yeah, ghost guns, they don't have serial numbers. You can't really trace them. They're, you know, you can't do background checks on some of these things, these purchases. There's also these, I think they call them kit guns, where they say these are what, like 80% guns, where they put them together and they do these things. So these are some of the loopholes that he's trying to close. You know, 3D printers, of course, like you mentioned before, become a problem where people can actually print these guns at home and the moving parts. You know, it's just, there's just so many other things out there that people use to skirt the law. But, I mean, when you have certain things in place, like the mandatory, you know, five-day waiting period and stuff like that, those things have to stay the way they are. I mean, we had the one shooting, right, where the guy got the gun. He shouldn't have been on the – he shouldn't have gotten the gun in the first place. We've had a number of those cases. So it's just – we have to tighten up the things that we already have in place. New regulations and new laws, whatever, okay, that's fine, whatever. But let's enforce the ones that we have first. So he's also talking about, you know, making it easier for the red flag laws. And, you know, we're in dangerous situations here because we're looking at Fourth Amendment issues, privacy at homes, cops going into people's homes and confiscating guns without warrants. I mean, we're in a real – that is a real problem. I mean, it's on so many different levels. So one thing at a time.
We just don't do enough, in my opinion, regarding background checks. You know, I was reading the story in another horrific deal that took place in Texas – as well as in Allen, and we had two brothers who killed their family. You see this one, Joe, the sister, the parents, and it was kind of, you know, written in play of the timeline. One of the brothers who said they went to a gun shop to purchase the fatal weaponry that would eventually be. And, you know, they both suffer from depression. They both had psychotic situations going. And yet, very simple questions that were asked on the form, and the guy at the counter just, you know, checked off, and all of a sudden they get the gun, and that's it. That's the end of it. So we need to do more, you know? I mean, if it's a mental situation and everything else, well, let's delve into it more, okay? But we can't just check boxes asking people if they've had any instances of impairment in the past, you know? And it's we got to wake up, man. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Yeah. We got to wake up. Right, Joe? I mean, come on.
Well, if somebody's going to be hell-bent on causing mass destruction, they're going to answer the questions exactly how they should be answered. You know, but that shows another insight into, like, the person's mind, too. So, I mean, if you're claiming mental illness, but you were able to circumvent all the questions because you knew that they were going to give you the gun if you answered questions a certain way, too, that might be something else for the lawyers to and the prosecutors to be looking at, you know, in another light, too. So it's a double-edged sword in that way. But, yeah, Jay, we need to stop most of this at the application process for sure. We've talked about cases where people have slipped through the cracks. I remember there was a military veteran that had a domestic violence charge that nobody notified the local police, and he got a gun and he went on a rampage. I mean, the list goes on and on. So we have things in place that can stop this. We need to tighten those things up in order to better effectively make sure that people who shouldn't get a handgun get one. That's the bottom line. Sure, are people going to get illegal guns and all those other stuff? That's a whole other issue. But when people go walk into a gun shop and buy one and then use it, I mean, those are the ones that we need to stop.
Yeah. And listen, we can't just talk about it. You know, we have to somehow get into this more and try and fix these loopholes. Loopholes are literally killing us. Literally. And we got to stop it. You know, it's no longer a matter of back and forth. I don't want to hear the Ted Cruz's anymore, and I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of it, okay? Action. Actions right now, folks. Joe Jacqueline, the Crime Report. All right, let's move to the trial. Derek Chauvin, you're in the second week, 10th day today of testimony. Joe, I've been following this, obviously. I thought the most riveting day as far as the prosecution was concerned. Medical experts testified yesterday, folks. But really, I thought very well done by a lung and critical care specialist, Dr. Martin Tobin, who really stated, Joe, that George Floyd's breathing was severely constricted. When he was pinned down, the lack of oxygen led to brain damage, caused his heart to stop. He made note that a healthy person subjected to what Floyd was subjected to would have died. He gave you a moment in a video clip of the incident about 5 minutes after police began holding Floyd down when he said a change in Floyd's face told him that he was dead. That's the moment the life goes out of his body. You know, he made references. He undid his tie. He gave you some references regarding the neck and the Adam's apple and everything else as far as the pressure points that could pretty much halt life the way we know it. So I thought it was an incredible situation on the stand from Dr. Tobin yesterday. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, and the thing is, we also, if you haven't watched his testimony, I encourage people to watch it because he spoke in plain English. He avoided the medical jargon. He avoided all those things. He spoke very simply, and anybody could understand exactly what he was saying and how everything goes down. And I think you hit it before, Jay. The key statement that he made was that a healthy person would have died under this situation. So, I mean, I think he's taken a hit at what the defense is going to claim, that it's the methamphetamine and the fentanyl that he had in the system, which caused his death, and not the 9 minutes of pressure on his back. So he was already preparing that counter argument by saying what he said. So yeah, it is. It was very damaging to the defense case yesterday, and it was actually something to watch and respect it. And I encourage people, like, at the end of the day, I know if you don't have time, every night they have a breakdown of the most important things that happen at night in a quick video, whatever it is, 10 minutes, whatever. You can catch up on this whole thing if you're interested in it. But I think everybody should be interested. This is like, I think right now this is like, this is going to be the trial of the century right now that we're watching. I mean, there could be another one down the road. I know we're only 21 years into this, but this is going to be talked about forever, this case.
we all know where we were, right? When the verdict came down with OJ, October 95 and everything else.
Yep.
Remember it all began June 94. I always remember that, watching the Knicks and the Rockets. I always point that as a reference, but I always remember just standing riveted to the screen, standing, watching the verdict that came down, and the embracing and everything else regarding OJ and his lawyers. I mean, this is going to have the same type of effect. We are all going to be watching the moment that verdict is in place. We'll get the alerts somehow. We'll get to a TV, or you know, we'll turn on the radio. But that's the way it's going to be. And I thought, and always remember day nine, because, like I said, most damning day against Chauvin, and pretty much even more so when you had that other doctor, whose name I can't remember, the surgeon from Louisville, Joe, who is an expert on deaths from asphyxia, and really backing up Dr. Tolman, saying the drugs that did not cause George Floyd's death. And remember now, Floyd was to have fentanyl in his system, and this doctor said he didn't have symptoms of the fentanyl overdose. Such as, very key here, folks. That's why you got to, as Joe said, look back on the day's events. You had the constricted pupils, decreased breathing. He said instead his actions were just the opposite. You know, not a fentanyl overdose. That is somebody begging to breathe. He blamed the death again on the positional asphyxia. Again, the lack of oxygen because of the position of the body, the knee on the neck and everything. It was fascinating. You know, the toe raised on the boot, talking about Chauvin's
yes.
boot. Not on the ground, is raised. It gives you an idea, all the weight there, 91 pounds. 91 pounds. Think about 91 pounds. Think about if you're in the weight room and everything else, the 45-pound plates that they're all there. Two of those. Think of those. Two of those 45-pound plates on the guy's neck. Unbelievable. Damning day, Chauvin's done. No question. Just a matter if everybody's in agreement, you know. So that'll be the key. Joe, time for one or two more quick ones. Madeline Singus throwing out 1,000 warrants. You got the marijuana laws in place, the prostitution stuff. It's all being thrown out right now. So incredible day yesterday as far as Singus is going. I wonder what she was feeling internally about that, knowing she had to do that, huh?
Well, yeah, and she's not the first one, too. So we had a couple of them, the DAs in Queens threw out another. I think she threw out, it was Katz, she threw out 2,000 cases. So, you know, it's a change in the law, and now they're going to go back and expunge all kinds of records, too, on top of that. So, you know, there are implications to this, right? So you legalize marijuana. We talked about that already. But the other one is about they remove from the penal code, the loitering for the purposes of prostitution. So that we're going to watch that very carefully and see what happens to that.
No doubt about it. And get ready for the onslaught, folks. This is what it is. This is, you know, kind of a situation with the laws and everything else. Also, NASA creating a policing plan. They're going to beef up the anti-bias investigations. I know last week, D.A. Sini in Suffolk expanded his hate crimes unit. We spoke about that. But that's what's happening right now as far as the anti-Asian American sentiment going on right now in this country, which is pretty much every other day there's an attack, Joe.
Yeah, no, it's an unfortunate trend that's sweeping through the U.S., and I think that the DAs are getting prepared for stuff to happen on Long Island and see what happens, and then have the, you know, you gotta be ready for this. It's coming.
We knew it was coming, but the police department in Suffolk being sued, it's a class action bias against Latinos. There's over 1,000 plaintiffs, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that, over police stops. And it alleges that even after the conviction of the former police officer, who was that, Scott Green, who was shaking down Latinos for $100, remember that whole mess, the abuse continued.
God, yeah.
So the Suffolk Police Department is in some trouble here as far as what could happen from a legal standpoint, Joe.
Well, absolutely. And if you recall, one of the reforms that they had to do is put on racial statistics of people who were stopped and people who were summoned and people who were arrested. So that might have been a forewarning about what was going to happen with this lawsuit that comes down. So, yeah, that's going to be a big one. We'll be following that one for sure.
No question. Joe's report sponsored by the Crime Stoppers of Suffolk County, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. All calls kept confidential and a monetary reward of up to $5,000 given for information leading to an arrest. Joseph, some of the top stories, tough ones this week. We'll talk again next week, my friend.
You got it. Have a great weekend, Jake.